Praise God. John chapter 1, verse 30 tonight. We looked at verse 29 last week. John, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30, This is he, of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So that's my title. Baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Lord, let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom tonight. Meet with us. Thank you for your word. Use it in our hearts to teach and grow us. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So as John said there in verse 10, he was before me. So John introduced him there in verse 29 as the Lamb of God. But then he reminded the people that Jesus always has been. Remember at the very first beginning of the book, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus always has been. And that's what John meant when he said he was before me. Even though John was born 6 months before Christ in an earthly manner, Jesus has always been. He just became a man for us. And so he told us there in verse 32 that he bore record of the fact that he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And this is when the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly preaching ministry began after the Holy Spirit came down. If you go to Acts chapter 10, the Bible explains that this is when he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to begin his earthly ministry. From a human standpoint, of course, Christ was the God-man. But from a human standpoint, to show us that we need the power of the Holy Ghost to serve the Lord, and we do, which is why the Bible says, You shall receive power after that Holy Ghost has come upon you in Acts 1:8. In the same way, God did this to teach us, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So notice, and with power. So the Holy Ghost was that symbol of the power of the presence of God, which, of course, we're going to see here. We receive that power as well when we are baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that's what John said in verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. He baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So if you go to Acts 1:5, we're going to do just a little bit of a study tonight on this baptism of the Holy Ghost, because this is very important for us as Christians to understand. And it's even important for us to understand as Bible-believing Baptists, because there are some Baptists who don't understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they don't believe that there's really such a thing as we understand it from Scripture. So Acts 1:5, the Bible says, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this is just prior to the ascension of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, just prior to what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down and baptized God's people and began something new, which was the permanent indwelling of God the Holy Ghost. Up to this point, that had never happened. Jesus explained that up to this point, all power that was given by the Holy Ghost was a temporary thing. If you go to John 14, I'll show you what I mean. But think back, for example, in the Old Testament even, people like Samson. Where did Samson get his supernatural power? He got it from God. But he got it from the Spirit of God. But the Spirit would come on people and the Spirit would leave. Even David prayed in Psalm 51, Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So he did not permanently indwell like he does during this age, which is the church age, the age of grace. Notice John 14:17, Jesus told his disciples here, he said, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So notice he's telling his disciples, he is with you because the Holy Spirit is God and he's everywhere. But there's going to come a day, and it's not yet, when he shall be in you. So Christ is prophesying here of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down and was in them permanently. And that is so that we might have the power of God, but also, as we know, that we might be sealed. So if you also go to John 20, Jesus here was risen from the dead. So this is after the resurrection, but prior to the day of Pentecost. Here in John 20, verse 22, the Bible says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So Christ here, this was just prior to his ascension, said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But it was in a different sense. It was for temporary power, if you will, until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost would come down and baptize them. Totally different thing. And so that's what John was saying. It's he, the one who's coming, the one, the Lamb of God that I just introduced and saw the Spirit of God descending, he is the one which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now, we've talked about this in Sunday school, but there are a few baptisms in the Bible. This is just one of them. And of all the baptisms, this is the one. If you go to Ephesians 4, I'll show you that according to Scripture, there's only one true baptism, and all other baptisms are just shadows or pictures of the one baptism. There's plenty of baptisms in the Bible. There's, of course, the baptism of repentance under the ministry of John the Baptist, which was water. There is water baptism that we perform in the local church age in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There was what Jesus referred to as the baptism of suffering, what he went through on our behalf, all the pain and suffering. He said that was a baptism, and that the disciples, many of them, would have the same baptism. The Bible says Israel was baptized in the cloud after they came out of Egypt in 1 Corinthians 10. So there's plenty of baptisms in the Bible, but which is the one? Notice Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says, "There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." One baptism. The one baptism is the baptism that we're talking about tonight. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you go to Acts 11, we'll see where it first occurred to the Gentiles. And that was Cornelius and his family. Up to that point, it had only happened to Jews from the day of Pentecost up until Cornelius. And so here in Acts 11, the Apostle Peter is recounting what happened in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius and his family. And notice he says here in verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." The beginning of what? The beginning of this age. Pentecost. He's saying, at the beginning, the Holy Ghost fell on us disciples. We were there in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost fell on us. He says, "And as I was preaching to Cornelius and his family," because they were giving Peter a hard time for preaching to Gentiles, "while I was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them like it fell on us." In other words, they got saved while they heard Peter preaching. So this baptism is what happens at salvation. The Holy Ghost baptizes us. 1 Corinthians 12:13, we'll turn there. Baptizes us into the body of Christ. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we are all baptized into one body. By what? By the Spirit. Capital S. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into one body. And when that happens, if you go to Romans 6, we are made part of Christ. We are made part of His body. Which means what happened to Christ, in God's mind's eye, doctrinally happened to us. Which is why when we baptize in water, we talk about buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Notice Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. So now that because we are Jesus, part of Jesus, that's Romans 6, 3 and 4, by the way. Because we're part of Christ, when He died, we died with Him. When He rose again, we rose again with Him. And that's what God is talking about. Baptized into His death. We are buried with Him in baptism, we're told in Colossians chapter 2. Galatians 3:27 says, as many as us have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are already seated in heavenly places. How can that be possible? We're right here. We're here on earth. How can we be in heaven already? Well, because Jesus is in heaven and we're in Him. Another reason why there's no way we could lose our salvation. Because we're part of Christ. And as Jesus said, we're safe. We're secure in Christ. He said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we're secure, we're part of Jesus, we're flesh of His flesh, we're bone of His bone. And that is the one baptism that Jesus had prophesied of. He said, you shall be baptized not many days hence. And then He went to heaven, and then not long after, the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost and began something new, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Romans 8, 9 is a very important verse. Let's turn there. I'll be preaching here on Saturday. Romans 8, 9, notice what it says. You are not on the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, of Christ, he is none of His. So if we can lose the Holy Spirit, we can lose our salvation. That's what it says. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:30 that we're sealed unto the day of redemption, right? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Ghost is our seal. Another place in Ephesians 1 calls Him the earnest of our inheritance. An earnest means like a down payment. So when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes down, seals us, indwells us. We become His temple. That's God's promise that I'm going to come and get you someday. That's my down payment. That you're going to get a new body and you're going to get to spend forever with me in heaven. That's the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Ghost. So we are so blessed to have been born in the church age. Because we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. Until when? The day of redemption. So if we could lose our salvation, then that means we have the power to break the seal of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Where'd you get that power? You're more powerful than God, you're saying, if you can break that seal. So John here said that He is the one, this one, this Jesus, He is the one that's going to baptize you someday with the Holy Ghost. Now, they wouldn't have had a clue what that was talking about at that point. They wouldn't even know who the Holy Ghost was. But John got to see the dove descend. And John obviously knew these things. He was a prophet. And really, I don't think the disciples completely understood it until it happened on the day of Pentecost. And they were empowered and went out and turned the world upside down for Christ with that power. So back to our passage, that was just our introduction. Verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So now John in verse 29, introduced Christ as the Lamb of God. And here in verse 34, he introduces Christ as the Son of God. Both very important titles. One pointing to his redemption and his death on our behalf. One pointing to the fact that he was the incarnation of God. He introduced him in verse 1 as the Word. He introduced him in verse 7 as the Light. In verse 17, he introduced him as Jesus Christ. Those two words both have powerful meaning. Jesus being the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word Jehoshua, which we shorten to Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. So Jesus means Savior, or Jehovah saves, and Christ means Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the Jewish Messiah that the Jews were waiting for. So just in one chapter, he's the Word, he's the Light, he's the Savior, he's the Messiah, he's the Lamb of God, and he's the Son of God. That's just chapter 1. We're just getting started. But John was written to introduce Jesus to the world. And verse 18 is the only begotten Son. So all of this was the introduction of Jesus by the one who, if you go to Isaiah 40, we'll finish there, by the one who was sent for that very purpose, and that was to introduce, to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Word, the Light, the Lamb, the Son. Notice Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. This is where it was prophesied 700 years before Christ. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." That's John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And by the way, that word Lord is all caps, which means it's the Hebrew word Jehovah. Again, must mean that Jesus is Jehovah. So, he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost, our Lord, praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, making us part of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Thank you.